Welcome to Street Stoics, the podcast where we discuss Stoicism, the ancient philosophy of living a good life. I'm your host, Bryce, and I'm joined by my co-host, Benny. We're here to help you apply Stoic wisdom to your everyday life, no matter what obstacles you're facing, whether it be work stress, relationship issues, or just the general ups and downs of life. Stoicism has something to offer us all. Another Street Stoics. How are you feeling, Benny?
Yeah, I'm feeling in control of the situation at the moment. How are you feeling?
We're in control. I don't know. I feel kind of out of control. Why are we talking about control so much? Well, because we're here to talk about the dichotomy of control. And so, very interesting concept, right? It's really a primary doctrine for Stoics. You know, our first episode, we talked about what is Stoicism. And through that process, we talked about the four cardinal virtues, right? Courage, justice, temperance, and wisdom. But there's a few key practices that go along with it. And one of them is called the dichotomy of control. And it's really important. It's actually, some people may argue that the core of Stoicism, or at least Stoic practices, are rooted in this particular thing. So Benny, why don't you start us off? What is the dichotomy of control?
Yeah, that's a good question and a good setup there as well, right? Because a lot of the times when people talk about Stoicism, first thing you hear is the dichotomy of control, right? The fact is like, what is under my control and what isn't? What is up to me and what isn't, right? And if we look at in Epictetus, he never wrote anything, but one of his students, Arrian, he wrote a lot of the discourses, and he also created a handbook, and he starts with this, right? So I think it must have been quite important for Epictetus and for Arrian to kick this off. And he says, you know, okay, so if we wanna live a peaceful life, if we wanna live a good life, we need to first understand what we can control, right? What is the part of life that we can look at? And I think, and maybe you know, this is something that I wanted to ask you as well. It's like I think a lot of people, control is an important part of our lives, right? It's something that we really wanna know what we are in control of. So people look for things to say, okay, you know, I can do this way, I can do this way, and nothing will affect it, right? But the Stoics, they look at life as a deterministic state, cause and effect. You know, something happens, something else happens. And a lot of the times, according to the Stoics, we can't control those things, right? Those are externals. So, and we've talked about this, you know, on the background and on the other places where we have conversations that dichotomy between like deterministic fate, if you want, and our free will. And I think what the Stoics say is that, okay, we live in a deterministic universe, but we have our free will to accept the things how they come, right? So to make our judgments on whatever is coming our way, and that is what we can control. We can either live with fate or we can fight against it. See, that's a decision that we have to make. And so when we talk about the dichotomy of control, what Epictetus says, you know, and in short, he says, okay, we have our opinions, our judgments, our actions. That's what we can control. We can control those things. But anything else, that's pretty much beyond our control. Our body, right? Our health, our career, our success, the world around us, you know, the weather, if we look at those things. That's all beyond our control. But it is a crucial part. Now, from my perspective, if people ask me, okay, what is Stoicism about? It's about living virtuous in accordance with your nature to find a peaceful life, right? That is the ultimate goal of Stoicism. So, and then we go back to like the dichotomy of control. That is for me one of those primary tools, one of those primary ideas that like, okay, how do we do this? Well, this is one way to do it. And this is where we have our focus on, right? So I kind of wanted to kick start it with those ideas. I don't know, how do you see it after what I just said?
Yeah, no, I mean, it truly is, you know, it's a primary doctrine. It's, you know, a foundational principle. It's really dividing, at least in its early stages, right? We're talking about dividing the world up into two ways of looking at it, right? The things I can control versus the things I can't. Usually you can say internals versus externals, right? Internals as in things I can execute against my will, right? And we talked about to some degree, our thoughts, definitely our emotions, our actions, our attitudes, and we'll talk about it later. You know, some of those may be arguable, but those are kind of the things we're thinking of. When you talk about fate, right? Stoics are called compatibilists, right? They believe in both free will and determinism. But most of the world is outside of your control. That's the fate. That's the external, right? So we're already starting to break down those items already, right? And so typical externals, like you mentioned, would be like the weather, a national disaster, or other people's actions, the physics of the world, these types of things. But it's also things like your reputation, or like, you know, the possessions that you have, your popularity, your clout, all these types of things, right? So what I love about Stoicism is that they try to narrow your field of vision. When you talk about this particular principle, it's not that I'm a control freak. It's that I'm just trying to reduce the things that I have to worry about, because there's so much noise happening around us, you can easily get distracted. So Stoics are trying to make it easy for us in this case. They're trying to say, hey, those things you can control, let's identify those things, or the things that they say that we can control. And again, we're going to talk about that. And then let's look at those things that are outside. So the deterministic part. I'm only going to focus on the free will part. And so when you look at the world that way, it's like there's a very, very narrow field of vision, or it really eliminates a lot of things that can get in our way. And so that's very helpful, right? And there's other practices that Stoics use, like when you talk about being indifferent, right? Or preferred indifference, right? That's basically saying, hey, I don't need to judge everything either as good or bad. So I take a neutral position in those things, or as many things as I can. So the dichotomy of control is very much like that. Again, in it's a simple form, it's talking about internals versus externals and those things that we would put in each category, and that we should just focus our energy on those things that we can really have a full access to, and we can manage the beginning and the end, right? So again, I don't know if you agree, Benny. I think that's a very empowering thing, because for me, I think a lot of what happens in life is we get distracted. And so if I can be less distracted, I can really focus my energy and you know, my limited bandwidth in my brain to making good decisions. And we're going to talk about kind of what process, what steps that we go through as examples. But is that what I said makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. And especially that narrowing your field of your field of vision or your scope, and especially the part where you have to reduce your worries, right? And that will help you reduce anxiety, because that's what people need to do to live better. A lot of people, they live under a great deal of stress, again, anxiety, all these things, they come in because they are looking for externals to satisfy their wants or their needs, right? And the Stoics say, hey, look closer at home, look where you can really find it. And so I agree, you know, this is a great tool, or a primary doctrine, as you put it. I like that way of saying it, to say, hey, this is how you can get kind of a hold on life again, right? This is like, hey, and your life. So that's a good thing to say. But I can also understand people saying, okay, you know, we talk about status, reputation, you know, your wealth or your health. They are not beyond my, they are beyond my control. And some people say they aren't, right? They say like, oh, you know, I can work harder. I can do my best. I can eat healthy. I can, you know, make sure that I live well, then my health is under my control. And the interesting thing is there's a good book by William Irvine, The Guide to the Good Life, and he talks about the trichotomy of control, right? And that's I just wanted to kind of intervene that idea there as well. Like he points out the example of, for example, a tennis player, right? Or any kind of sports, if you will. And he says, okay, if some athlete has a match coming up, a tennis player has a match coming up, what we can control is, for example, the tools that we use, right? The amount of hours that we put into practice, the food that we eat, right? That's something that we can control. And we say, okay, these are the decisions I'm going to make, my actions, because I know that they're going to benefit me. But in the meantime, it is kind of like he says, like that those are partially under our control. We can make those decisions to say, if I want to become the best athlete or the best person, these are the steps that I have to take. But that doesn't mean that the outcome is in my control. That doesn't mean that even if I use the best records, the rackets, or eat the best food, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be in the best shape or ready to meet my opponent. And maybe my opponent is just better. right? But it does show us that, and it kind of comforts us when we go into the, you know, onto the court, onto the tennis court, or onto the, you know, the life itself, that we can say, hey, I've done my best, right? I've done my best. And I think that that kind of links into the dichotomy of control, when we say these are our opinions, our actions, our views, because we decide that this is something that we think is important, that we want to do. We want to do our best, right? And that's what the Stoics also, you know, say. They say, hey, you know, do your best while you're alive. You know, as Marcus already says, you know, to stop talking about what a good person is and go be one. And that's pretty much what we say here. So there is that idea of like the trichotomy of control, where you can shape the circumstances in your favor as much as you can. But at the end of the day, you know, when you go and face that match, you know, when you go and face life, you never know if the court is going to be rained on, or if your opponent just a little bit faster, the ball might just bounce, you know, just a little bit more in their favor. That is beyond our control. But at the end of the day, why the dichotomy of control, in this case, the trichotomy of control, can reduce our anxiety, can reduce our worries, or can reduce the image that we have of ourselves, because we can say, hey, I've done everything I could, right? I've done all the best that I had, the best that I could. And I have nothing to, you know, to blame. I can't blame myself for anything because I've done my best. We can only blame ourselves if we say, oh, I could have done better, I should have done better, right? And then we go back to those opinions that we have on the circumstances. And that's where a lot of our beliefs and our thoughts come into play, that we, where we can say, oh, I'm not good enough. You know, that's those judgments that we place on ourselves for no reason. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that, right? I like the idea that, you know, what you said is that it narrows our focus, but it also gives us some tools how to use that focus, right? How to make the best judgment calls in those moments and say, okay, this is what the moment requires, and I'm just going to give it my best and make sure that I have all the to make sure that the situation is as favorable as I can make it. But if it isn't, then I'll just accept it for what it is, right? That's also, I think, a big part of the dichotomy of controls is that acceptance of fate.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough to do that. I know we talk about these things, and we're talking about dichotomy. Now you made it a trichotomy. You know, some people may be kind of their head spinning a little bit. But I just like to look at it as, you know, it's really, this practice is teaching us like how to let go of things. And that's what I was mentioning before, is some of these Stoic practices are just about simplifying. So if we can get to a point where we start, it's a practice again, start looking at things that impact your life, things that you interact with that are starting to, you know, they affect you in some way, right? They cause some sort of emotional arousal, or you're tempted to take some action. We'll break that down into parts here pretty quickly. But, you know, if I can think about these things, use that logical, reasonable part of my brain and say, you know, pretty quickly, okay, this is something I can't control, right? And you know it. You know it in your heart. You've thought it out. You've been through this experience before. You just can identify. It's like the neighborhood dog. You can't control how he's going to react to the sirens as they go by. Is he going to howl? Is he going to bark? Is he going to be quiet? You don't know, right? So it's like when you say, hey, I don't have to be stressed about that. Or, you know, the dog's going to act in the dog's way. And, you know, I don't need to be bothered by the noise or what have you. You can think about it in layers. Then it's actually refreshing, right? Maybe that's not the best example in the world, but here's a better example. Okay, like I live in the Los Angeles area, and so we're constantly dealing with like traffic, right? There's a lot of densely populated areas here. So like imagine you're stuck in traffic, you're late for work, you know, you're starting to get frustrated. You could try to control the traffic, but you know, you can't, right? I mean, you find that out pretty quickly here. So instead, I have the opportunity, right? I can choose. Here's where the control comes in, or my decision-making comes in. I can choose to focus on other things, right? I can focus on my attitude and I'll react into the situation, or will react to it in the future. I could choose to maybe listen to some music. I could call a friend. I could practice some mindfulness or some sort of light meditation. And so with that, you know, by focusing on the things within my control, I make the situation less stressful and more tolerable. And so just, you know, so take that template and apply it to other things in your life. And it can be very effective. It's very powerful. And what Benny mentioned with the trichotomy of control is probably more accurate. And what he's mentioning is something author William Irvine brought up, is that instead of looking at the world as, yes, this is something that's within my control. We're going to say the word control a lot in this episode. I'm sorry. But this is something I can't control. This is something I can't. In the middle, it's like, this is something I can influence. Good example of that might be, like, let's say you hired somebody to charter a boat out on a trip, right? You can't control if what's going to happen on that trip. I mean, you're not driving the boat yourself. You hired somebody else to do it. So it's really in the hands of them, and then the conditions of the water, what have you. But you do have an opportunity to make a choice on who's going to be the ship's captain, right? Or the crew. So have I done the due diligence, right? That's the control piece. So I have some influence on the outcome. And so as a good Stoic, I'm going to try to make the best decision there. But ultimately, the end result is not something that I will know. But there was some influence. I had a problem on the probability on that that might be a better outcome than not. So I think that's a better way of looking at it. And it's worth bringing that up too, because when we talk about Stoicism, when we're talking about the dichotomy, control, in the purest sense, you're talking about Epictetus, right? And he brings this up in the discourses, although he doesn't call it the dichotomy of control. I mean, that's where the concept really gets firmed up. And so over time, you know, we're in a modern age of Stoicism, and we've talked about that in previous episodes, where there's that initial three stages, there's a fourth stage in the Renaissance, and then the fifth stage is now in the 20th and 21st century. And so what William Irvine is talking about there is more of an evolution of how we're tweaking Stoicism a little bit to make it more palatable for today, make it a little bit more meaningful, give it an update, a refresh. And Benny and I are all on board with that. We're right with that group of people in kind of this, we'll call it the neo-Stoic movement. We're trying to take those original concepts, which are good, add a little bit to them here and there. If it makes a little bit more sense in today's world to, you know, put another arm on this conversation. So I'm rambling a little bit here, Benny. Can you bail me out?
Yeah, that was beyond your control there. No, it was a... I agree fully with you, right? And I wanted to touch on a few things, and I think you're right. This is our responsibility to really take up the gauntlet, right? To show us what is Stoicism and how can we apply it right now? And that's why we're doing this, right? That's why we're doing, you know, we're giving other talks on other platforms, but that's why we said, okay, we're going to make a podcast and discuss these things, because it is our moment, right? And this is a little bit under our control, right? That kind of the influence that we have. But I really liked what you said about letting go, right? That is a big part of the control. And by letting go of certain parts, we can focus on what we really need to focus on. And so those two parts are really important with the dichotomy of control. And we talked about, you know, building a career or building a reputation or whatever. But if we focus on those things, we are actually putting our hands more and more in faith. And Seneca, we can see him mentioning in many of his letters to Lucilius and some of his essays, where he says, you know, fate is, or fortune, for example, fortune in this case, that's not where we want to put our hand in, right? We don't want to be on the mercy of fortune. No, we need to look at what we can do right now and look at the situation. And when we talk about, you know, you mentioned mindfulness in a certain earlier. It is that gratitude, right? We have to have that gratitude for what we have right now. And the Stoics are very big on mindfulness, on living in the moment. And that's where we can control it, right? That's the only part of the time that we have that we can have agency on. So the Stoics, when we have a little bit, if we take one step back from the dichotomy of control, we look at, you know, judgment, right? And that's what Epictetus tells us as well, you know. Our judgment is what we can determine, right? By looking at the situation as objectively as possible without letting our emotions interfere, you know, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't understand our emotions. That means that we should understand them very well, because only then can we know when they are interfering and when we need to take, for example, a pause or take that step back, take a deep breath, and then find the best way to act in a situation. And the example that Bryce gave was an accident, right? When you're in a car, when you're driving, and it's heavy traffic, or other people are, you know, they might be cutting you off or doing some, you know, some crazy things. At that moment, you can take a step back instead of reacting and maybe making the situation dangerous or making it even more annoying for yourself, maybe even getting angry. At that moment of time, you can take that little pause and say, okay, what can I do here? And that is the dichotomy of control, right? That question of like, what can I do here? I can either accept it for what it is, you know, and see, okay, I if someone cuts me off, then I need to take the right action and just get out of the way, maybe brake. Maybe make sure that it's safe, right? Or what Bryce said, if you're in traffic, you can say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna listen to something. I'm just going to, you know, just maybe look around, you know, enjoy the scenery. And so that's why I think it is really important to have that that feeling of being able to let things go. And that's where, you know, that's where the end goal of Stoicism comes in play, to live that peaceful life, right? That's at the end of the day, we want to be peaceful in our lives. It's not about, you know, those externals, as you pointed out, well, that those externals aren't really important because we can't control them. Whether it's, you know, all the things that we're chasing, all those wants and desires and, you know, the things that we wish to avoid, which is something that echoes throughout Epictetus's words, that's something that can just only cause us anxiety and can take us away from that peaceful living. So I think that's why when people ask us, hey, you know, what is Stoicism and the reason why people usually start with the dichotomy of control? Because it's very practical, right? And both Bryce and I talk about the pragmatism of Stoicism and how that's something that appeals to us and to what we've been, you know, hearing and seeing to other people as well. That's why people start with it, because you can apply it. You can apply it quite quickly because, you know, the amount of times that we have situations that kind of trigger us, they're constant, right? They're always around us. So if we understand that, you know, to separate the internal from the external and practice it, right? All of this is practice. It's not easy, but it's if we learn to practice it, and the more we train our brain to see what is external, what is internal, you know, the more we become an automated. It becomes an automation in our brain, like that, you know, the books that we both of us like, you know, Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Slow. So the more we practice it, the more it becomes in that type one brain, right? That instinctive brain that we can see, okay, this isn't in my control. I don't need to worry about it. So that's why I think, you know, as we started to talk maybe about, you know, what the tools are, the applications, that's something that how I see it, that it can really work into our benefits. I don't know, Bryce, how do you see about the application or what it really means to us, the dichotomy of control?
Yeah, so I think we've given a good roundabout discussion about what it means, why it's important to the Stoics, how they want it applied, and then how it's been tweaked a little bit when we talk about the trichotomy as being what I can control, what I can't, and then what might I have some influence over. So I think the first step then is to putting this into practice is making sure you get it right. Right. When I say that, it's like sometimes we have a mistaken understanding of what is and is not in our control. So you have to look at things very specifically, right? And then you also have to think, I know, do you have desires or aversions that are focusing on things that are not in our control, right? That's something else you have to keep in mind. And then, then you have to think about the choices you make and the commitments and the prioritizations. That'll have bad outcomes for you if you continue along those paths. So, you know, we were talking just before about what are typical use cases. And so people might object to you and say, okay, well, what about your body? You have control of your body? And it's like, well, it'll have control over all the internal workings, but I mean, I can go to the doctor, right? So that's that middle ground. That's that I might have influence over. Or you know, or taking care of it with my diet or with my exercise, right? You know, your personal relationships, your career, you know, your legacy, your reputation, you know, these are influenced by actions that you take, but you don't have full control of the outcome. So just to put that out on the table, you know, as we're going through life and, you know, you experience something, you say, hey, is this in my control or not? sometimes it's going to be obvious and sometimes it isn't. So you really have to think through, each situation. And as I was doing some research on this, I thought it was a really key point. I'll ask Benny about it is, if you had thought about it before, is, what if you have impulses? You have desires, you have compulsions, or you have aversions to things that you've just always gone along with. And then you realize, oh my gosh, that was something that's probably out of my control. Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question, especially when we talk about, the dichotomy of control. Like, how do you deal with those impulses, right? How do you deal with those moments where you're kind of caught off guard? Because that's where, the Stoics tell us to always be present, to always be mindful of what we're doing. But sometimes we can be caught off guard, right? We are not the sage, as the Stoics describe, the perfect person. That's not us, at least not me. Maybe one of the listeners here, if among us, I don't know, Bryce, how close you are to the sage, but, it isn't me. But those impulses, that is a great point to start, right? And we talked then about, first of all, I think the main start of it is to know who you are, to really know yourself. That's where it all starts. So even if we talk about the dichotomy of control, we can't, we can't control the things if we don't know what they are that we should control. So first we need to learn, okay, what are my impulses? Where are my weaknesses? Where are my strengths? And this is the search for truth, right? Who we are. And Zeno pointed it out, we can read it in the book by Diogenes Laertes, where he said, living in accordance with nature. But what is it, right? And those are the big questions. What is it? Why is it? And once we know that, then we can start to identify the impulses. We can start to identify those triggers, those moments when they might start to go. For example, with food, for me, that's one of the things. I have to practice temperance a lot with the things like alcohol or eating. That's something that is just, one of my weaknesses. So I can practice myself. I can train. If I go somewhere and I open a cupboard and I see sweets lying there, my first impulse would be to grab it. But then I can apply that pause and I say, hey, is this the right thing for me to do? Is this, do I really need it? And I can have that little moment of separation from me and those impulses and say, okay, what is this really happening? What is really going on? And to be honest, it's practice. I'm far from perfect again, but I've been doing better, right? I've been doing better with those steps. Like I've mentioned in other talks, like I've been able to quit alcohol completely, it's still an ongoing process, but that's been going on for a few years now. Why is the dichotomy of control so important then? Because it brings all the responsibility to us, right? It says, okay, if I want to do this, I've got to do it. I've got to put it into action. I've got to make sure that I put in the work, that I say, okay, this is where, this is where it ends. And we can do it, but it isn't easy, right? I think that's a problem. And I think that's sometimes why people say, hey, Stoicism isn't for me, because it's, I'm sorry to say it, but it is all up to you, right? And that's what the dichotomy of control says. So yeah, you we have to really look at the situation, right? We really have to examine the situation, what it is. And just quickly before I bounce it back, is like what you said about we are able to control our bodies, right? We are able to control how we eat. And we can take an example of a professional athlete, right? They train hard, they do all their best, but they still can get injured. And then suddenly their career might be over. So how you accept that and how you deal with that determines how well you are able to live. And Epictetus, he points out, and Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, we can read it in others, like what you mentioned, those wants, desires, and the aversions, the more they control us, because they control us, the more we can control them, the more free we are. But we can become slaves of them, right? And if you ask yourself, if you put in all the work, if you work as hard and you try to earn as much money, what are you doing it for? Are you doing it for your own life to live better? Or are you putting in all of that time to try to get all those external things, those properties, those possessions, those things to show people how well you are, while we can't control their opinion? We can live the best life we can and they can still think of us as a bad person. But we need to learn to let that go, as you mentioned, right? To say, okay, that's your opinion. Great, I can't control your opinion. The only thing I can control is my actions and my own opinion. So I've got to make sure that they are as best as I can. And then and then let it go. And if you think I'm a bad person, well, you know, then I can choose not to interact with you, or at least not to care about your opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And so of all the things we talked about, you know, what are those things that we really say, hey, are these things really in our control, right? Like opinions and judgments. And you can say, well, those are easy, right? Those particular things. And it's like, no, not really, because we have problems with human beings as perception, or, you know, or we have preconceptions about things. You know, we might have biases, or, some already information loaded in our head that we shouldn't about a situation, which is going to start a daisy chain of judgments, bad judgments, and then bad actions, right? So we have to be cognitively aware of that. But the biggest one, and it's worth going over here, is emotions, right? Because people will argue and say, well, I don't have control over them, right? If something happens, I get angry, and then I guess, well, I could try to stop without yelling or acting out, or, you know, or get upset and take some other course of action. It's not always about anger. It could be about, you know, any emotion, right? Sadness, joy, overindulgence of any of those things, or just having it not rooted in reality or reason and logic, I should say. So then you think about, well, how do I get a handle on that? How do I get in a position where I can make the best judgments and get the best actions, right? By deferring to my logical or reasonable part of my brain as much as possible. So when you think about it, right, we go through life, and as far as emotions go, and things happen to us, right? So the way the Stoics look at it, they look at it really three pieces. And the first piece has like two subparts to it. You're talking about impression, you're talking about judgment, and then you're talking about action, right? Those are the stages of how I feel about things, and really the emotional response that I'm leaning into, and then the actions that I'm going to take, right? And it's because we're talking about control here, right? And so emotion's one of the biggest ones. You know, people get upset when they talk about Stoicism, or they get it confused that Stoics are trying to suppress their emotions, and that's not it at all. It's really understanding and really breaking it down into tiny, tiny pieces to figure out why we react to the things that we do. And it's different for each person. So this is a very personal experience and exercise that you have to go through. In a nutshell, really, right? It's about, I get exposed to something and I start to develop some sort of feeling. Is this a good thing that's happening? Is this a bad thing that's happening? Do I have preconceptions about this? So the good example would be, maybe you're walking around in the woods and you hear something that maybe sounds a growling like a wolf or something like that. And you can say, hey, well, you have that immediate knee-jerk response, right? That there's something bad out there. There's something scary, something fearful, right? And that's something in that first phase, you know, we're talking about that impression. And so that's broken into two pieces. And the first piece is something you might have heard before called proto-passions, right? So it's almost a physical reaction. It's kind of a snap. You might have some sort of fear, some sort of physical something that goes through your body, a shock, just a nervous system response. That's not something you can control. Not at all. Even Stoics will say that that's outside your control. That's just some physiological response. But in that same, like shortly after that, right, your mind starts to think, it puts a picture in your head. You're looking around and it puts a picture in your head. It's a wolf, it's a bear, it's something. And you start to visualize this thing, and then you start leaning into this impression, right? It starts building towards an emotion. So if you're, you could take it several different ways, right? You could say, oh, I better run. I'm scared. I'm in danger. Or you could say, hey, and you can pause and say, hey, well, this vision is building in my head. Maybe it's not a bear. Maybe it's not a wolf. Maybe it's the neighbor's dog or something like that. That's gotten lost and wandered out in the same spot. This is that first stage. And again, to sum it up, simplify it, it's called the impression. And so as a good Stoic, we're supposed to be able to pause just briefly and try to take inventory of what's going on, eliminate any ideas that we have in our head that's going to lean us in one direction or another, and just try to take inventory the best we can. And so that leads you to this is where judgment comes into play, right? And so if I'm leaning into this initial impression of fear, then it's up to me to judge, is this something I should be fearful of and then you go, then actions will follow that. It's really a really short window of time. And I know this happens pretty quickly and it's hard to remember all these things, but to just take away that, you know, there's some sort of physiological response to something that happens to you that you can't control. And then there's a stage after that, that where you have a chance to kind of stop, gather yourself. It could be just in split second, eliminate any preconceptions that you had about a situation, try to take as much accurate inventory as you can to make the proper judgment. And many times that will work in your favor, right? Because those initial responses that we get, those physiological responses that we can't control, are not always leading us in a direction where, you know, the action that we're going to take is consistent with what's actually happening, right? And I don't know if that's, if I went around in circles there, Benny, maybe you can clean it up.
Yeah, definitely. And I think especially, and just to kind of bring that a little bit more into practical ways to use it, right? Those proto-passions, those impulses, and you mentioned it very well with the emotions, you know, they just overwhelm us, right? If we hear bad news, and, you know, that's an instant reaction that we feel, and it is actual physical, right? We have the, you know, the adrenaline rushing through our brains and through our blood, and all of that just happens, right? We feel like if we, for example, if we feel embarrassed, we can blush. I think Seneca talks about this in a letter, that that's something that we can't avoid, right? And the best way to kind of diminish it is to maybe just accept it and maybe go, you know, live into it. Say, okay, you know what? I'm going to blush, right? That's it. So that's kind of how we can act towards it. But those instant feelings, emotions that we get from the impulses from the outside, we can't control, but we can diminish that effect that they have, right? By just practicing that pause, right? That Bryce was talking about, why we can say, and we can practice that in moments when we don't really need it as much. We can practice it every time of the day, right? If we feel already maybe getting annoyed or frustrated with something, we can start, hey, wait a minute, what is happening here? Why am I getting agitated? What do I need to do, right? Or for example, if we become, you know, over happy with something, maybe that's also a moment where we can stay, you know, that state of euphoria. We can say, wait a minute, this might not be the best moment for me to take any decisions because I'm not being irrational, right? There's a Stoics talk about to use reason and logic. So even in those moments, we can say, okay, let's take a step back, you know, let's take a deep breath, and see. And the more we start to apply those things, even in the non-critical moments, the more we remind our brains that this is a step we can take for those moments when we really need it instantaneous. And that way we can close that gap between the impulse and between the action to take, between the judgment or opinion that we make, right? We can close that gap of that pause. And, you know, the less time we need, the faster we can react. So I think that would be a great practice to say, okay, you know what? Then I can, in that split second, in that pause, I can say, this is beyond my control. This is within my control, and then I can take the right action. And for example, like the example what Bryce said, if you're walking in the woods and you hear an animal, you hear a sound, right, and you feel that fear coming up, you can just take that moment and say, okay, maybe I need to flee. You know, maybe I need to, or maybe there's nothing going on, right? And Seneca talks about that in a very famous quote. He says, you know, we suffer more often in imagination than we do in reality. And those thoughts, when we have those, you know, if you are an overthinker or if you just think about the worst all the time, those are also moments when you can say, okay, what is really going on? How can I, if this were a real situation, what would I do, right? That kind of preparing yourself for it. So yeah, I agree, you know, what you were saying, those emotions are often the things that give us that impulse, that thing that we can't control, that physiological change and how we perceive the world around us. But that pause, that's where it really matters, right? That's where we can take back, that's where we can distance ourselves from that situation, say, okay, what is it that I need to do? And that's what Epictetus says, you know, what is under our control, our opinions, our judgments, our actions, right? That's what is under our control. And that's the same thing what we have with when we receive, for example, bad news or good news. Hey, you know, it's just news. It's things that we receive, that we learn. The reason why it's good or bad is because we have already placed a judgment on it. But if we can remove that judgment from it, then we can say, okay, this is news, and this is what I've got to do about it. So So I don't know if I cleaned it up there a little bit, but yeah, that was a great point. And I think that that's also a way of kind of how we can put it into practice, right?
Yeah, and what I talked about with proto-passion being part of the block of impression, which becomes judgment, which becomes action, seems kind of clinical and dry. Just, I mean, simplified is, you know, we have impulses and we experience things and we feel something building. The Stoics are trying to tell us to kind of get in the middle of that building process. Don't let it build to a full emotion, right, of anger or fear or some other type of desire, right, is that you can change the way that you look at that. So when you get to a point of full judgment, like, okay, this is what's happening, and then your action's going to ensue, you've had an opportunity to insert some reason and logic into that mix. And that's usually a good thing, right? That pause or that, you know, that deferral of judgment, at least temporarily, until I can try to get some more information or at least wipe out of my brain any preconceived notions of what I think might be happening. Now, in a dangerous situation, another Stoic practice that is common is that, you know, looking towards the future, you know, anticipating things that might go wrong or things that might be difficult to stay ahead of it, right? You're looking ahead, right? It's negative visualization, essentially. So in a true, like, my life is in danger situation, you might have some ideas already preloaded in your head. So when you do get that stimulus, that it's that impression, you probably just roll with it and then let that feeling grow. And then, like, it's fear, you're probably going to run out of there or something like that in the situation I brought up before. But many times it's not going to be like that. Most things you're going to deal with in your life are not like the wolf coming after you, or the tiger, the lion, that type of thing. But it's worth noting that we do have control over our emotions to a certain point. Not that initial burst, not that initial wave that hits you, and especially your physiological response. And that's pointed out multiple times. So you could be sweating and be upset and agitated and looking around and that type of thing, but that doesn't mean you've given into fear, right? Or any other type of emotion that might be trying to rise up. So, you know, like for an example, if I heard a story about, you know, a Stoic on a boat, you know, and it's pitching to and fro, and everybody on the boat's screaming out that, you know, we're going to go overboard, we're going to drown. And he's kind of sitting there. Now, he's still looking scared, but he's not acting out like the other ones do, because that heightened sense, that sensory change is still affecting him as well. But he's kind of intercepting what's building at that point and not leaning into the doom and gloom and the panic of it. So he averted the panic, although he couldn't avert, you know, the looks that he had or the physiological response. But that does change the action, right? And when the sea's calm and everything gets back to normal, he just never went through that. So you do have, the point being is that you do have some level of control of your emotions, of your opinions, of your judgments, but it does take practice. You know, Benny did mention that, is that it's effort, right? And Stoicism is not easy for a lot of people. And it is training. That's essentially what you're doing. Like you have a certain diet or your certain exercise routine. With practice comes perfection. And you just have to look at each opportunity in life as a situation where you can use this, right? When it comes up tomorrow and you're facing something, say, hey, I'm going to try to break this down using the dichotomy of control, right? Is this something I can handle completely? Is this something that I shouldn't be worried about? Or that, you know, that third piece that Benny interjected is something that I can influence, which says he maybe have a little bit of control over. But you should be able to break things down over time pretty cleanly, especially things you experience on a daily basis of where they fall in that spectrum and then act accordingly. But it's practice.
Yeah, practice and understanding, right? Where you talked about, you know, the emotions, the better we understand our emotions, the better we can control them, right? I think that kind of debunks one of the biggest myths on Stoicism. And, you know, we have the difference between lowercase and uppercase Stoicism, and uppercase Stoicism really You know, the stoicism that we're talking about really tells you to understand what is going on. And the more we understand it, the better we know what's going on and how we can, you know, we can increase the control that way, right? By knowing exactly where it's coming from, maybe understanding our triggers, our core beliefs, you know, and by doing so, we can better prepare ourselves for any situation, right? We can better understand what situations might throw us off guard. So yeah, I think that those are great points to be made, right? About the dichotomy of control and how to put them into practice and why it is one of those important tools that people start with, right? It's like, okay, so I want to start into stoicism. What do I need to do? Okay, first practice control. I think that that is one of those key points that can really make a change in our lives if we learn to discern the difference between internal and external and to say, okay, you know what, this is something that I can do something about. And as you mentioned at the end, it is work, right? There's no such, it doesn't come easy. You know, that's the thing with stoicism. I mean, that's why people might shy away from it, because the Stoics, they don't beat around it. They say, hey, if you want to be better, you've got to do it. It's all up to you. You've got to take the responsibility. Why? Because that is part of what's under your control, to say, I'm going to be better. I'm going to live better. So yeah, I like that. I also like that example, the story that you mentioned about Stoic philosopher on that boat. That's a great example to show, hey, you know what? I'm still a human being. I still have, you know, those fears, but it matters of like how I deal with them. That's where the difference is made, right? So yeah, I think, you know, so far we've had a great conversation. I don't know if you wanted to add something more.
No, I think we said control probably 5,000 times. So, I mean, that is the topic, but it's important, right? And again, what we started this talk about was, what are the core principles, right? The foundational doctrines inside of Stoicism. You could argue that this dichotomy or trichotomy of control, this process that we broke out in detail, is it. You're using the cardinal virtues to help guide you, but this is the practice of them all, the other ones we'll talk about, ones we just mentioned earlier in this discussion. This is one that can really impact your life in a big way and is super important. So yeah, I mean, I think we had a good discussion about it, and I'm going to use my control now to give Benny the last word.
Thanks. And you know, we've done our best. So we prepared ourselves. We've had, you know, we tried to do the best conversation. We've, you know, I think we maxed out the word control in our vocabulary at the moment. So we can let that go for a little bit. But I know, a great conversation. And yeah, thanks, Bryce. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Good work. Catch you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, rating, and leaving a review. Your feedback helps us reach more like-minded listeners on this journey of self-improvement. And remember, you can reach us on X, Bryce at Stoic Bryce, Benny at The Stoic Padawan, or look at our website, streetstoics.com. If you want to get in touch with us, email us at streetstoics@gmail.com. And remember, virtue is the only good.